Hello to our listeners. I'm Josie Briggs. I'm the editor-in-chief of the Journal of the American Society of Nephrology. We call it JASN. Once a month, I record some comments on six papers that I think are particularly noteworthy in each issue. You will soon be, listeners and readers, you will soon receive the March issue in your mailbox, and I think it's got some very exciting science in it. I thought I'd start by telling you about a paper, a figure from which is on the cover of this month's issue. The figure shows the role of the sodium-linked cotransporter SLC12A3 in regulating serum potassium. And I think these are quite interesting findings that will be the kind of thing you may want to talk to with students. Renal potassium handling is, of course, very critical for health and well-being. The heritability of serum potassium concentrations has suggested that there are genetic influences on potassium in normal individuals, but up till now, I think none were clearly established. However, what these authors found in a large population base is that heterozygosity for a variant of the sodium-linked cotransporter, that the variant causes Gitelman syndrome when it's present in two copies. But in individuals who are heterozygous, it causes a systematically lower serum potassium. And this data are beautifully illustrated in the figure we selected for the cover. But I think you'll find this to be a very interesting new finding. And it does show that heterozygosity for genetic variants can affect serum potassium in normal individuals, and it has implications for personalized medicine. Another genetics paper in this month's issue that's very novel and I think quite important deals with the syndrome called Galloway-Mowat. Proteinuric kidney disease, as our readers know, is a leading cause of end-stage renal disease in children. Galloway-Mowat syndrome is a rare condition that includes a severe form of progressive nephropathy with extreme proteinuria, steroid resistant, as well as prominent central nervous system features. Mann et al., the authors of this paper, found that mutations in the transcriptional regulator PRDM15 are a new monogenic cause of isolated early onset nephrotic syndrome and the Galloway-Mowat syndrome. So this is a new disease-causing mutation. It provides insight into the molecular pathogenesis of nephrotic syndrome and also implicates this gene as an important regulator of renal development. Another exciting paper in this issue involves single-cell profiling of urinary cells. Our readers are well aware that single-cell RNA-seq has become an important research tool, largely looking at kidney biopsies or specimens of whole kidney. What this work shows is that the same technique can be applied to microscopic analysis of urinary sediment. Looking at urinary sediment is, of course, one of the common tools of nephrologists, but this drives this to a whole new level of being able to look at gene expression. Abedini et al. Used single-cell transcriptomics of urine for five individuals with diabetic kidney disease and five controls and were able to characterize 24,000 urinary cells in an unbiased way. They showed that this technique can detect almost all known kidney cell types just from a urine sample, no biopsy, and also a variety of the cell types in the bladder. It provides a reference data set for urinary single cell characterization, and we think moving forward this will be an important new research tool. And now to move to the more clinical or applied work, we have also in this issue a pool analysis of three community-based cohort studies that included 27,000 adults. and looked at their lifestyle behaviors, things like smoking, optimum body mass index, engaging in regular physical activity, consuming a healthy diet, only moderate intake of alcohol, and analyzed individually and in combination how these factors are associated with the risk of death and cardiovascular disease among individuals with or without chronic kidney disease. The findings that lifestyle behaviors are important for CKD patients, as they are, of course, for the general population. And since these are modifiable risk factors, this provides valuable data to counsel people with chronic kidney disease and tells us that, as for the general population, these factors, and not just the progression of kidney disease, will be important for their risk of chronic disease, particularly cardiovascular disease. Another important study looks at issues of race and preemptive waitlisting for transplantation. I think most of our readers and listeners know that a very worrisome discrepancy exists in the access of African Americans to kidney transplantation. Under current U.S. national policy, determining a patient's eligibility for kidney transplant waitlist registration requires the patient's GFR to be under 20 ml per minute per 1.73 meters squared. Because disease progression is faster for Black versus white patients, this policy may contribute to racial disparities in the accruable time on the wait list before dialysis initiation. Lane Ku and co-authors used models to determine the association between race and time to end-stage kidney disease, and they find that time is shorter for Black versus white patients. They then estimated that allowing registration of Black patients on the transplant wait list at higher levels of kidney function, EGFR approximately 25, had the potential to reduce the observed disparities in accruable wait time. And one last and novel paper in this month's issue involves a new antigen for membranous nephropathy. Our readers are well aware that important findings over the last decade or so have contributed to understanding the autoantigens that underlie membranous nephropathy, most importantly, phospholipase A2. This study deals specifically with about 20% of patients with lupus who show the membranous phenotype on kidney biopsy. In this work, two proteins, exostosin 1 and exostosin 2, are shown to be present in the subset of the membranous lupus nephritis kidney biopsy. This work is by Ravindran and co-authors. And they found that about 30% were exostosin positive. The biopsies from people who were exostosin positive showed less chronicity, less glomerular sclerosis, less tubular atrophy, and less interstitial fibrosis, compared with lupus nephritis patients who were exostosin negative. And in fact, these patients who were exostosin positive were also less likely to reach end-stage kidney disease. So these findings suggest an important new tool to counsel patients with lupus nephropathy and perhaps to help unravel the pathogenesis. So that's the set for this month, a varied and interesting set of six papers. We hope you, as our readers, will enjoy this issue. Thank you.
This podcast is copyrighted by the American Society of Nephrology. All rights reserved. All content in this podcast is for informational purposes only and is not intended to be medical advice. This podcast should not be used in a medical emergency or for the diagnosis or treatment of any medical condition. Please consult your doctor or other qualified healthcare provider if you have any questions about any medical condition or before taking any drug, changing your diet, or commencing or discontinuing any course of treatment. Thank you for listening to this podcast from the American Society of Nephrology.